G'day, Denny. How are you?
Morning, gents. That wasn't really much of a sledge compared to what Pup can dish out.
Mate, tell me about it. I've given much worse. I've certainly copped much worse as well.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to break your arm or your hand. Wasn't that one of yours?
Something. I can't remember.
Something like that. Now, that's a proper sledge.
Well, things you do on a sporting field, Denny.
Run me through that then, Denny. I mean, is that all that happened? It was just go back to reserve grade with Cody Walker and Lachlan Lewis?
Well, Loz, I don't even know if that happened because I made a number of calls on this yesterday and probably the main call that I made, I couldn't get hold of Lachlan Lewis to find out, but it, you know, there was a bit of word coming out of the Canterbury club that there was a comment about go to reserve grade or you're a reserve grader. I contacted Cody Walker and said, look, I'm running a story saying that you've said that, you know, he should go back to reserve grade or he's a reserve grader. And Cody texted me back saying there was no sledge at all. Nothing was said.
Right. So, I wonder why he reacted the way he did then.
Look, I'm taking Cody Walker on his word. You know, I've heard stories otherwise. But the person who is said to have delivered this sledge said that he didn't say anything at all.
But even that, Denny, even if he has said it, so what? That's nothing. Go back to reserve grade? I'd say no worries, thanks. I thought you were going to tell me to go back to SG Ball.
Yeah, look, I know it was weird. I didn't think it was the biggest deal in the world. I know there has been some calls for suspension. You know, it was odd. It was entertaining. No one really got hurt. If someone got hurt, maybe we could all be screaming a bit more. It was just an odd look, wasn't it? And I think, Lewis is a bit of a different character. You listen to him speak and you never know what you're going to get. And I don't mind that. And clearly you don't want to walk off next to him when you're going to...
I thought he was joking. I thought it was a muck around. I thought it must have been a setup for the Mossy Masoi Foundation or something. You know,
maybe it was.
I was just going, oh, that's a bit of a G up between two mates. And then all of a sudden they went to the ground and people started rushing from everywhere. And I thought, oh, no, hang on. What's going on here?
Well, I'd like to. I've only got Cody's version of events who says there was no sledge. I'd like to hear. Like his version, I'd like to hear what he said.
Yeah.
But all I can tell you is that I did hear a very similar, suggestion that was what was said. But then the person who was said to have said it says he said nothing. So make of that what you want.
All right, take us through Gus's move to Canterbury.
Geez, Cyclone Gus is about to hit Belmore. It's exciting. I think it's really exciting for the club. He is going to... Look, Canterbury needed a point of difference. There are a lot of clubs... I don't want to have a shot at you, Pup, but your club, the West Tigers, and they're just clubs that are sort of meandering around who need something different. They need a point to attract people to their club, like, you know, a Wayne Bennett or a, you know... A Craig Bellamy, and Phil Gould is that, you know. I know he's not coaching, but he brings something that very few other people in the game can bring. He has a genuine aura, a gravity about him that not many people in the game have. He commands and demands respect. He will be big with the sponsors. He'll be a lightning rod for the media. I mean, look, you look at it already. Everyone's talking about Canterbury. And, you know, look, they're not a finals contender. They're a spoon contender. And, you know, it gives the club more than anything direction, and it gives the club hope.
Denny, we saw what Gus did out at Penrith, and there were some challenges there at the start where he had to make some big decisions in regards to moving high profile people on. Not that the Bulldogs have got a lot of high-profile people, but can you see a real change in this roster at the end of the year?
Well, they're already changing, aren't they? I mean, you've got the Penn guy signing, which I think is a little bit risky. If you're paying $450 for him, I think it's a good signing. If you're paying $730 for him or $700 for him, there's a risk attached to that because you're paying for a potential, aren't you? And I think he's been paid for potential a fair bit, and hopefully he can make good on that at Belmore. So they've already got a number of good signings. You know, Dufty, interesting signing. You know, potentially a very good player on his day, a world beater. I think, you know, Burton's a lock. You know, he's a very good sign. Not like he's a 5'8", but he's a lock of a signing. You know, I think that Addo Carr, very good signing. I don't know where he's going to play now, though, because he's supposed to be playing fullback, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is Dufty going to be in the halves now? I don't know. So, yeah, they've got the makings of a reasonably good side. They've got to, you know, if they can make a couple more good signings and juggle their roster around a little bit, which Gus is quite good at, or very good at, you never know what they could threaten next year in terms of being a competitive side. I do still have concerns for them. You know, you worry about the factions in the background and you worry about the politics, but I think Gus is going to have to get those people in a room and, you know, give them a giant hug and hopefully bring them together.
And so, what sort of time frame, Denny? Like, again, Gus is a genius, but can he turn this club around in, you know, are we talking top eight next year? Are we talking 2 years? What can the fans expect?
Look, if you're optimistic, it's top eight next year, I think. But I look, a lot of people in the media took great delight in bagging Gus because he had a five-year plan or a long-term plan for Penrith, right?
Yeah.
Some of those people are now singing his praises, saying, "Oh, they need Gus because he's got a five-year plan," and it's the hypocrisy is mind-blowing. I think that Gus will need a number of years to do it. If he can get them to be a premiership force within 5 years, he's done a really good job. I'd hope they could be finals contenders within a couple of years. But for people to, you know, people who bagged him at Penrith for having a long-term plan, which, you know, has come to fruition because they are now, everybody says, "Oh, we want to be like Penrith. We want to set up like Penrith. We want to junior, you know, we want to pathways like," yeah, that's because Gus set it up and he took a lot of bullets and he didn't get everything right. But, you know, look at where they are now, and there is no doubt he created the platform where he put the pillars down for that club to be what it is now, and it took time. He got bagged. Well, you know, some people will probably start bagging him again if Canterbury aren't flying in 2 years. But I do think they've now got hope and they now have some direction.
Yeah, I think, and I hope they've got money left to get a quality number nine. I think that's one area of the game that they need if they're going to climb up the ladder quickly.
Who would you sign, Laurie?
I mean, look, Smith's the obvious one, isn't he?
Yeah. And I actually think they're a hope. Yeah. I think they're a hope. Yeah. And they definitely need a nine. And I heard you talking earlier about Kyle Flanagan, and that's definitely an issue for them. He's going to get paid pretty good money and take up a fair bit of their cap the next couple of years. And it's Trent Barrett's job to get something out of him. At the moment, I think his confidence is rock bottom. And, you know, we saw him have the teary exit when he got dropped. And, you know, he's a young bloke who's still finding his feet in the game. He's definitely got potential, but he needs somebody to coach that potential and make him into a first grade halfback who he's never going to be probably a top notch halfback, but he's got the makings of being a very good first grade halfback who can steer a team around, kick well, kick goals, and make a difference.
Well, talking about halfbacks, I see that Luke Brooks was on the market, but no one sort of showed too much interest in taking him off the Tigers' hands. And also with Ash Taylor, what's the latest with their futures?
Well, I think, Laurie, I think Ash Taylor was offered to the Raiders for around $300,000. And I don't think there was a lot of interest. That's quite a big tumble, isn't it, for a bloke who is When he was at the Broncos, was the next big thing going to be? And then he went to the Gold Coast, the next big thing, $1 million a year. And now he's going to, you know, he can't get a deal for 300. And the Raiders need a halfback. I think the Raiders may have also had people ask him if they're interested in Luke Brooks as well. I don't know where that's at the moment. The Tigers will deny they're shopping around, but I do think there's an element of that going on. I don't know if Brooks would be the answer at the Raiders either. I think with Jack White in the running 5'8", they might need a different style of halfback there. I don't know what you'd think about that, Laurie.
An organiser, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, to complement Jack. I still think Kyle needs a bit of work. I wouldn't give up on him. But I think he's got to... I think he's going to get bigger because I think teams found him out defensively. So he needs to work on his strength, and he also needs to work on taking the ball into the line. He needs to run the ball. You know, he's got, you know, I think if you've got him, I don't think too many people are going to take him off the Bulldogs. Or if they do, they'll want a large portion of his salary paid.
Will Gus be good for him? I mean, like you've had him as your coach, you know, Would he be good for a half?
Well, Gus will give him confidence and belief. And then once he does that, it's up to the kid. It's up to Flanagan to go away and take everything on board, work on his game, work on his physique, and see what he can make of the new environment at the Bulldogs. He's going to have a better forward pack to play behind, which is a key for any halfback. He's going to have a better quality on the outside of him. So that'll make him look good. So all the ingredients are there, but it's up to Kyle whether he wants to take his game to that next level. And if you've got him on your books, you've got to persevere with him because, as I said, I don't think too many people will pay a lot of money for him. But he's a guy that's shown glimpses through his first grade career that he's capable of doing it, but he just hasn't done it consistently. And that's where you look at him and go, we've got to keep him. We've got to give him every opportunity to succeed because he's on a lot of money and no one's going to take him. So there's no point me having him here in this system taking up a bit of our cap. I've got to give him every chance to succeed. I've got to give him that chance. And if he can't come up after an off-season and 3 or 4 weeks in first grade, well, then the decision's made for you. You've got to try and move him on and see what you can get for him. But I think at this moment in time, you've got to give him a shot.
Danny, what's the latest on Will Chambers, buddy? I see he had a 24-hour drive, stopped for an hour for a bit of sleep and then kicked on.
Look, he it's quite a remarkable story. He's 33 years of age and his wife had their third child. He made a mistake. He wanted to be by her side and got down to Melbourne, broke the bubble, and now he's trying to get back into it. So he had to bolt out of Melbourne at the same time the Storm did, but he didn't have a private jet, so he had to go to the local thrifty, hire a car, got in the car and just drove on had a couple of cups of coffee, tried to have a bit of a sleep when it started pouring with rain when he was a Gundagai, pulled over in a truck stop, got in the back of his car, you know, lay on the back seat for an hour, thought I can't do this, got another coffee and just drove up to Kingscliff where now he's waiting and hoping that the Queensland border doesn't shut. And then hopefully, you know, Thursday or Friday this week, he'll be able to get into Queensland and hopefully rejoin the Sharks after having missed a couple of games. And he's, you know, he did the wrong thing. There was nothing malicious about it. There was no bad intention. But he's going to end up missing as many games as some of those Paul Bourne's barbecue mate, if not more. In fact, he'll miss more than those, and he'll miss more than you know, Jai Arrow even, because you know, because he had to go out of bubbles and all this sort of stuff. And look, and he understands he made a mistake. He's a little bit dirty about that though. He, you know, the fact that he went to go and, you know, be by his wife's side, and he didn't think it was anywhere near as big a breach as a barbecue buster or bringing a couple of girls into your room during Origin.
What about Dale Finucane, mate? I know that Craig Bellamy would love to keep him there at the Melbourne Storm, but it looks as though he may be on the move. Do you know where he may end up?
Five clubs chasing him, Laurie. Look, and I got an indication, a real insight as to why they are. I was lucky enough to watch him train pretty closely during the Origin time, and the way he trained, like even when he wasn't playing, it looked like he was the captain of the side. He was into it. He was leading the way. He was rallying the team, and you can just see, whilst he's at the back end of his career, his love of rugby league and his dedication to the sport and his leadership is, it just stands out. So he really, there are clubs who want him for that reason, because yes, he's at the back end of his career, but gee, he offers something as a leader off the field and you know, even on the field for a couple more years at least. And yeah, the likes, Tarek Sims has been in his ear to try and get into St. George. I know that there's interest from somewhere like the Tigers, the Knights, the Cowboys, the Gold Coast. So it's everywhere because good leaders and good people don't necessarily grow on trees, and he's got those qualities that people are looking for.
Now, the six again rule. Has it gone too far, Denny?
Yes. Yeah, simple. I mean, I know the Blues lost. We haven't really talked about that, but the Blues lost the last game, and they've been bagged heavily for that. But beneath the surface, there was a genuine belief from the Blues that they were just getting, you know, laid over in the ruck, and Queensland didn't care about conceding offside 60 goes. And the view is that it's so easy for the referee just to half raise his arm and, you know, get the beat going and say, yep, six again, where it takes a lot more courage and decisiveness and examination to blow a penalty. And they think it's the view coming out of the New South Wales team was yes, definitely a six again needs looking at, particularly for the offside, because, you know, the good players in the game can just be belted by attacks, you know, who don't mind giving away an extra tackle. So I really think it needs looking at. And I see Graham Annesley's talking about, you know, more sin binnings and stuff. Why not just pull back on the rule a little bit? And we liked it last year. I don't know if we like it as much this year.
I think that's a good point you make, Denny. I think everyone at the start of last year when the rule changes were made went, ooh, how's this going to go? But by the end of it, everyone loved it.
Yeah.
Everyone really enjoyed it. And then with the six to go calls this year, I'm like you, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of it at all.
You just need to relax a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I thought, you know, let the game breathe, and we got used to what the new game looked like last year, and I thought it was terrific by the end. And I must say, at the start, I was a bit concerned. I was like, oh, how are these rules going to go? And how will the players adapt? And they adapted so well. And I thought the football was great. It was something that was different to what we'd seen the previous 10 years. But it's gone too far, I think, this year. And a lot of people that I speak to, Danny, they do. They're not as interested in it as they were last year and the years before.
Oh, Laurie, I have to say, and I don't like saying this, but I have never turned off as many games midway through or three-quarters of the way through. It's all gone out of the room to do something else because we haven't had enough good quality football or enough contest. And I do think the rules have contributed. I do think the uncertainty over the head highs have contributed and the way that's being policed. I haven't enjoyed the football as much this year. The standard of it or the way it's being played. And I really enjoyed last year. You know, I enjoyed last year, but this year, not as much. I don't know exactly why, but I think, and a lot of people I speak to, Laurie, reflect those opinions about the six again. And that's, I'm talking to, you know, high-profile coaches about it, people with, you know, who obviously have an interest in the game and probably self-interest, but they also care about the game. And I listen to someone like you, and if you're saying it, you know, I think people need to listen.
Agreed. I think most of our listeners do as well. Good on you, Denny. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys.